Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How are you guys doing? I hope everybody is doing well. For those of you in Florida and up the eastern coast, I hope you guys are doing good with the tropical storm Elsa. We got lucky where I am in South Florida. I'm in Fort Lauderdale, so it missed us. We didn't get any weather at all. It's our usual summer. But I know those storms can be scary, so my thoughts are with you guys. Even tropical storms are scary, so I hope everybody is faring well. I have a great guest today, author and animal communicator Lynn McKenzie, and she's going to join me in a few moments. For those of you listening to me on a regular basis, you know I share a Magic Monday message postcard with an affirmation for the week. And this week's affirmation is, I will definitely tickle the dragon. So I'm sure you're asking, what in the world does that mean? It was inspired from a manifesting postcard I photographed, and one of the cards in the image says, if you can't stand the heat, don't tickle the dragon. And I thought, how funny is that saying? It's kind of like the saying, you don't poke a sleeping bear and you don't upset the apple cart. And then I thought, why the heck not? Those of us that tickle the dragon or poke the bear or upset the apple cart are those of us that think outside the box. Those are the people who are the change makers, the ones who make us look at something differently. A perfect example is my guest today, an animal communicator, and we're going to talk to her in more depth in a few. It's those of us that are interested in learning from a different perspective. It's those of us that have deeper wisdom to share. We all do it in different ways. Some of us do it in loud ways from the stage. Others do it in quiet ways with their families. Others do it by writing books and sharing their stories. Many do it in the work that they do. People that tickle the dragon are my kind of people. They have always been my kind of people. So my thoughts are, for all of you listening, means please, if you see something that is not right and you feel it's not right, for you, go and tickle that dragon. If you think it's time to change an old story that is no longer working, you definitely want to tickle that dragon. If something is calling you and it's something completely different than you would normally do, you must answer that call and tickle that dragon. If you want to see what I'm talking about with my Magic Monday message postcards and their affirmations, you can find them on my website, postcardstotheuniverse.com, and I share them each week on all my social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, oh God, all of them. And if you're interested in learning more about my work and doing some work exercises and reading people's incredible journeys of transformation and inspiration and manifesting, check out my book, Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams, which you can find in your bookstores, online and local bookstores. And if you're looking to join an inspirational group, I have one called Postcards of Love on Facebook, and I share inspirational stories, beautiful photographs and art, and everything that makes us feel good. So it's all good stuff. Next week, I have as my guest Don Jose Ruiz, the international best-selling author of The Fifth Agreement. As a Toltec master of transformation and modern-day shaman, he has dedicated his life to sharing the wisdom of the ancient Toltec through his books, lectures, and journeys to sacred sites around the world. And the following week, I have his brother, Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., on as my guest. I'm super excited to speak with each of them. Having had their father, Don Miguel Ruiz, on my show in April, it was such a treat, and I really look forward to having these two upcoming shows. So please join me. Okay. I'm very excited to now introduce you to today's amazing guest, Lynn McKenzie, author and expert in the animal, intuitive, and energy healing fields. With over 30 years of experience, her book, Bark, Neigh, Meow, Awaken to the Transformative Wisdom of Your Companion Animal to Activate Your Soul's Highest Calling. I'm reading it. Actually, I'm just finishing it today. So I didn't finish it. I have like one or two more chapters left. I'll be done this evening. It's great. I love it. She has provided training and consultation for over 100,000 clients, and she offers various programs relating to animal communication, healing, spiritual growth, and personal transformation, psychic development, clairvoyance, and chakra healing. If you want to learn more about Lynn as you're listening to the show, you can go to her website, lynnmckenzie.com. That's LynnMckenzie.com. Welcome, Lynn. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Melissa. It's wonderful to be with you.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you. It's so interesting. So I have to say, I'm really enjoying your book. Some of the stories in there are making me cry. I'm such an animal person, so I'm super sensitive to those stories. Like anytime I see anything about animals, and especially if it's anything tragic, I just like, you know, on the news or anything, I just weep, you know, because I'm so sensitive to them. So it's so beautiful, the stories that you've collected for your book. So why don't you share a little bit about you and how you started and have been communicating with animals, and what does that really even mean? Because a lot of people who are listening are probably like, what does she mean communicating with animals? I talk to my dog every day, you know, kind of thing. So share with us.
Right. Thank you. And I just want to say for your benefit, the last two chapters are my two very favorite chapters in the whole book.
So, good. Well, I'm finishing it tonight, so that's for sure.
Yeah, so I'm happy to hear that you're reading it and almost done. So basically, how I got into being an animal intuitive, it was a long, circuitous route, I guess. You know, I was born in 1960, so I wasn't, when I was a teenager, I didn't know this was a career. You know, there was nobody doing it that I was aware of, you know, in the 1970s and 80s, let's say. I'm sure there was definitely people doing it, but not that I was aware of. And of course, the internet wasn't here. But I basically was born having this deep connection and love for and need to be around animals, you know, and it's funny because I was born into a family where we didn't have any cats and dogs or anything like that until I, you know, begged for one for so many years that my parents finally got us a dog. But they'd allow me to have little animals like a hamster or a turtle or, you know, my sister had a budgie, but nothing, like we wanted some more substantial ones. Beings are equal, but we wanted a cuddly, furry one that could sleep in our beds with us, etc. So then I got into horses as a teen, and I became very horse crazed. And you know, I really believe it was the horses that taught me to communicate with animals. And what I mean by communicating with animals is really about tuning into them on a soul level, telepathically. So, you know, we're tuning in with them using other than our known senses. And we're sending and receiving information to them via images. It could be images. It can be colors, pictures. It can be knowings, feelings. It can even be words. I mean, and every interaction, every time I interact with a different animal, it can be a different way that it happens, you know, based on, I guess, the combination of my energy and their energy. So, you know, if someone had three animals and I was connecting with all three, it might come across very differently for each of them.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So when you're communicating with an animal, you're seeing, like they're sending you telepathically images of what they're feeling or going through, and you're receiving them. And that's how you can help their human companion know what's going on. Right.
Yeah. Them. And they can be sending me images. They could be sending me thought forms. They could be sending me feelings. Like I might feel it in my own body. They might send me just a color. And, you know, so what they send me, sometimes there's some deciphering required. You know, a lot of times I do a lot more teaching now and writing and things like that because I have a large following. But in the past, I used to be doing this mostly full time, doing the consults for my clients for many, many years. And during that time, it's interesting because they would just come across so differently. Like, you know, and somebody asked me, like, all dogs can, if they're going to connect with you, like in language, they can all connect with you in your language, even if, you know, they live in Italy and their people all speak Italian or whatever. But they can, it's like this is on a soul level. so they can communicate in your words. But usually I would have my clients on the phone. You know, my work was a combination of the communication and the healing, because my huge passion is for healing and for helping them to release stresses and help them and their people go through different things that animals go through, you know, like even the death and dying process and connecting with the afterlife. That's a huge part of my work and a huge part of the work I teach. And it's so healing and really, really quite amazing. And, you know, but it can come differently. And sometimes I need to talk to the person a little bit to say, you know, I'm getting this. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even if the person talks back to me, I tend to be triggered more by the voice of a human. And I can somehow, like there's a deciphering process going on is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, sometimes I'll ask questions to help with the deciphering of certain images or feelings or impressions that I get.
Mm. Okay, so you did answer. So you still communicate with animals when they passed over. You talk to them when they passed over, too. It doesn't matter if they're here or they passed over, because I did want to clarify that. Now, I know that from the book, but, you know, for those who haven't read your book yet, which I find super interesting. And you teach, I noticed, because I went through your website, you're teaching courses, you have offer courses that help us, I'm going to say the lay person who maybe is interested in doing that, learn how to do that, right?
Yes, my signature program is my Animal Energy Certification Training Program, mm-hmm. and it combines the connecting with and communicating with and all of that, along with my healing modality, which I call the Animal Energy System, you know, the Animal Energy Healing System, which is actually a healing system for animals, humans, and a self-healing system. So, it's a little bit, it goes a little deeper than just the animals, and people can work on themselves with it to even help them improve their connection with animals. It's kind of an interesting, mutually symbiotic thing. But one of the things I wanted to say is that without even meaning for this to happen over the years, because I've been doing this for so many years, just by putting my shingle out and offering services well before the internet even happened. I remember I advertised in an animal wellness magazine, and like my first client came from New Mexico, and at the time I was in Toronto, so that's, you know, it was international from day one. But now I'm in Arizona myself. But the thing is, without even trying, somehow I became kind of known for and became the specialist in the death and dying process and connecting with the afterlife of animals. So I would help people through that process and help the animals through that process. And then a lot of communicating after. And animals can be amazing guides for us from the other side, and really because we're connecting to them at that soul level, that soul or essence of a being does not end with the ending of the physical, nor does the love that we have for one another.
Right.
So that part lives on, and most people don't really get it that the amount of healing that we can have, and it can make losing an animal a lot easier. I'm not saying it's going to eliminate the pain, but it can certainly help and bring a lot of peace and comfort to people.
Yes, I definitely can see how that's the case. Now, really, any of us can do it if we learn. Is it a skill? Is it a skill that we really can learn how to do?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I believe it's our birthright. And I believe we can all learn it. But what I will say is it looks different for some people than it does for other people. So like in my major training program, when people come in, they all come in with hugely different backgrounds and experiences and, you know, just even like soul's blueprints, you know, they come in with different things. So it's like we're all like snowflakes. So we come into this with whoever we are at the time, and then we go through this amazing training and transformation. And then when we've gone through that, how it works, like you mastering it and like your best friend mastering it may look a little different, but it's still awesomely rewarding and magical and, you know, all that you could imagine it would be. But it might look different for different people.
Sure. That makes sense. It's fascinating to me. Do you still work with clients privately? Do you still do consultations, or did you stop doing that?
I still do a few. Sometimes I think I should probably stop, but just because of what's on my plate. But I still offer a few, you know. And I offer them first to the people in my training program. Like I offer them first, but I do absolutely. It is possible for people to get sessions with me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I figure, because I was listening to something that you, I think it was an interview from 2018 or something, and I heard you say you stopped doing the calls for the missing animals because of everything that was on your plate, and it made me think, I'm like, wow, yeah, she must seriously, because there's not a lot of people that do what you do, right? So you're an expert in what you do, and for those of us that love our animals are seeking you out, there is only 24 hours in a day, and you do need to have a life, right?
Yeah. I have clients in 52 countries, and you know, my first client wasn't even in the same country as me. So, you know, like I said, so I was in Canada, they were in the US. So I mean, some of the countries people have bought who have come into my trainings or had sessions with me are from, I didn't even know were countries. Brush up on my geography a bit sometimes.
Well, it's great though that you offer courses that help us learn how to do it so that we can tap into our own intuition and really learn how to communicate with our animals, which I think we do in so many ways without we're even realizing it. Like, for anybody who's listening, you know, if you have an animal, you can just tell by the look on their face. You can almost hear what they're trying to tell you. Like, if they're hungry or they're sleepy or they want affection or they want you to leave them alone, all you have to do is look at their face and you can see it. So I can see how you teaching us the skills, getting even deeper, would be so beneficial. But I'm going to, before we go, because I really want to get into your book, I see that I can't even believe we're already at the first break. So let's take our break here, and then we're going to come back, and I have tons more questions for you. So everyone stay tuned. Be right back.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on OM Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The rainbow is God's promise of hope for you and me. And though the clouds hang heavy and the sun we cannot see, we know above the dark clouds that fill the stormy sky, hope's rainbow will come shining through when the clouds have drifted by. Teresa Caprio is the president and founder of Rainbow Guardian, Inc., a nonprofit 501c3 serving the intellectually challenged / developmentally disabled, including autism. Teresa started the foundation in 1995 so she could help make a better life for her intellectually challenged daughter. Her dream is that the Rainbow Guardian will provide the necessary tools and education to help the public understand the special needs population, because it's often discarded in mainstream society. To find out more or make a donation in support, please go to www.rainbowguardian.org. Rainbow Guardian's special mission is to see these unique people live a happy, full life and have a future of liberty and equality.
Welcome back. So I have Lynn McKenzie, author, expert in animal intuitive and energy healing, and her book, Bark, Neigh, Meow, Awaken to the Transformative Wisdom of Your Companion Animal to Activate Your Soul's Highest Calling, just came out in May. Is that correct, Lynn? May, your book was released?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Your book birthday was May. That's awesome. So what made you decide that you wanted to write a book? And I love that there's a bunch of stories in there. So she shares her personal stories, some of your personal stories, and then other people's stories, which I think is, I love that. I love that. So what made you decide to make it a book?
You know, I have about, you know, 5 or 6 books in me. And mm-hmm. I tend to be a bit more of an extrovert than an introvert in some ways. I might be changing as I get older, but you know, I work a lot, and I really put my heart and soul into this because I want the world to really awaken to this and awaken to the wisdom of animals and understand ways they can help heal their animals in conjunction with their veterinarians, etc. But I had always been, you know, creating programs. I have lots and lots of programs that I've created, but I've never actually put my work into a book. And I just felt like very strongly guided by the animals that the time was now. So, you know, and I thought, if not now, when, you know, I'm going to be working on a second book. I haven't begun yet. I've been working, sourcing out ideas for it. But I wanted this book to be not just for people who want to communicate with animals. I wanted it to be for lay people as well, who really wanted to be touched and inspired by some of the stories. So I chose to do it the way I did it. Instead of making an instructional book, I chose to show people via real life true stories. But then I also included, you know, in every single chapter, I included, you know, a little bit on what the lesson was about. I did some, you know, I did an exercise, and I had some reflection questions where people could think back themselves to scenarios in their own lives. So, you know, for those who want to learn and want some instruction, it's in there, but the book is really about the stories and about the experiences of others and how people can, I believe that once you know what's possible, because you've seen somebody else model it, you can then start to embody it yourself in a much easier way than if you had to, you know, sort of create it right from scratch, so to speak. You know?
Well, it totally resonated with me because I love that at the end of each story in her book, she has meditation, she has grounding rituals, walks us through our chakras and exercises for helping us to open up to connecting to our animals or ourselves or healing work, which I thought was really cool. And you do it after each story. And it's similar to how I laid my book out. I had 30 manifesting stories. And at the end of each one, I had some writing prompts and exercises to do, which I thought was so
great.
Fun. Yeah, so when I was reading through your book, I was like, oh, right up my alley. I love this so much. So it's really, and you really give us some detailed tips and exercises to do, which I really appreciate. So I'm sure a lot of people appreciate too. So of course, I have to ask you, I don't know if you have a favorite story, but is there one that like sticks out to you more than some of the others? If you could share a little bit with that with us.
You know, I mean, of course, my own stories, like in the book, 3 of the stories are about myself and my own animals that really led me into this career. And I won't share those because, I mean, my very favorite one is probably the last chapter before the conclusion. It's called The Conduit for Healing. And it's about a veterinarian that I worked with, who was a really amazing veterinarian. Of course, first she studied to be an allopathic veterinarian, then she went on to learn everything, you know, you could possibly learn in the holistic realms, acupuncture, you know, traditional Chinese medicine, and everything else. And she actually did pretty much took most of my trainings as well. And anyhow, so it's a story about her and a horse, which she had a horse that she really loved. And the horse ended up crossing over. And then just by synchronistic means, this horse ended, another horse came into her life. And that horse ended up having a baby eventually, you know, had a foal. And that foal was a reincarnation of her first love, the first horse, and Camarillo. And there's a lot more to it than just that. There's a lot more of the whole story, but that really is, you know, and I put a quote in at the beginning of every chapter. I chose a quote that I thought was fitting. And for this one, I put, greatness does not come from trying to achieve the possible. So, you know, she was, she did like a ton of healing. There's a whole bunch of, like that second horse that came to be with her ended up hurting herself, and she felt that it was, as a veterinarian, she felt that it was beyond beyond healing. Yet the horse kept, she had sessions with me, and the horse kept telling me that she could do it, and that this was her time to shine. And what was amazing was she listened to what the horse had to share, and she did the work, and she had the impossible happen. She was able to heal this horse, which from, you know, a medical standpoint seemed impossible. I think the horse's hip was broken, like one inch down and like, or something like a few inches down and one inch apart. Like it wasn't even, it was normally in that situation, a horse would be euthanized. And of course she didn't want to euthanize this horse that she loved so much. And this horse, she was able to heal the horse following the horse's instruction, you know, going against the better judgment, but trusting. She really trusted this work because she'd been with me for a long time and done my training herself and was so, such an amazing healer that she was able to help this horse. And then for this horse to be able to have a foal at a later date after a break like that was like a complete miracle. It was beyond any comprehension. I'm sorry to have ruined your...
No, I know. It's okay.
I know.
For the last That's okay.
There's a lot more to it than that. Like, so that is one of my very favorite chapters. And then the last chapter, I'll just tell you a snippet about. It's called A Winged Ambassador. And this thread sort of started happening through the book. And this wasn't even a planned chapter, but it's a thread that was kind of working its way through the book. And I just felt that it could not be ignored. So I had to bring this thread in. And it was about, it's a thread about a red tailed hawk. And I won't say more than that, but it is my second, probably my favorite chapter of all. Or so it's 18 and 19 are my two favorites.
I noticed that about the red tailed hawk, though, now that you're mentioning that. And I didn't actually have that as one of my questions, but now that you said it, that's kind of interesting because I was wondering, I'm like, what is it about this red-tailed hawk that keeps showing up in these stories that are completely unrelated? The stories are totally unrelated to the people.
I know. I wasn't even thinking about it. Like, and then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a second, the red-tailed, and you know, I was writing and I was frantically on my deadline, you know, it's pretty stressful writing a book.
A lot more
work
than
I thought it was.
Yes, it is.
you know, and my book's fairly substantial. But anyways, I was sitting there at my desk and these red-tailed hawks were flying like around and around and around forever, like right in my vision because my desk sits at a sliding door and I look toward the mountains. So, I mean, I've got nature out there and the hawks do come by, but they don't come by and just like fly in circles. So it was like the proverbial 2x4 over the hedge for me. And, you know, it was my late Maltese Carly coming to give me a message that, hello, you know, pay attention to these hawks, lady. And I almost missed it because I was so engrossed, you know, and that's what happens. You know, this is the human condition.
Right.
We get so engrossed in what we're doing, or what we're, you know, the goals we're trying to meet, or deadlines we're trying to meet, our devices, et cetera, that we can miss so much. So this book is about really about paying attention to.
Yes. And it's interesting. I love that part of the story. The one story with the girl, the woman, I cannot remember her name or the horse's name, but when her horse was ready to pass, and how at the very end, when he leapt up as the red hawk flew, and then it was another friend who was, I guess, was she a medicine woman or something, or a mystic or something?
Between you and I, she was a shaman. Her friend
Okay. Cause I got that impression, right? Yeah. No,
The publisher wouldn't let me say that she was a shaman because of implied appropriation. So I had to say she was a psychic or something. I forget what I said she was.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it felt like to me from my reading. Right. Yeah. How the horse's soul leapt up and was freed into the hawk, helped carry it up. And I thought, oh my God, that's so beautiful. I just love that so much, you know? And it's just, so there's great stories like that. And I love the story of, I remember this cat's name because it's a distinctive name, Artemis, the cat Artemis, that was the feral cat. I think her name was Nance. The mother's name was Nancy. I can't remember the mother's name. There's so many names in the story, but I remember Artemis, and how when she started taking and working with you, the cat was a feral cat who some vet told her that she should put the cat down. I'm not going to give the story away. If you want to know the story, you got to buy the book and read the book. But she decided, no, I'm not going to do that. And she wanted to figure out a way to communicate with this cat. And when she started working with you, the whole dynamic of the cat's energy shifted.
Yeah, the cat and her, she became an amazing healer herself and got over some really tough things she'd gone through in her own life. So she was able to heal herself and heal the cat and really, blossom into this amazing being. And it turned something that wasn't so great into something a little bit more, beautiful for her.
Yeah,
the cat came around.
It's a beautiful story. So there's lots of stories like that in it. And it brings me to this question is, how deeply, animals are sentient beings and how deeply they grieve when they lose, their loved, their companions, their other animals that they love, or us, when we pass on, when you see those stories, you see them on the internet, those stories about grieving animals. Oh my God, like the dogs crying, like on the gravestone of like their person who died. I'm just like, my heart is just cracked open, So animals love deeply, correct?
Yes, absolutely. They are very much, they have souls, contrary to what some people will say. Mm-hmm. They have, emotions. They have everything, that they have the capacity to have all kinds of emotions and feelings, etc. They're different in the way they deal with things in humans. Mm-hmm. I won't say they're exactly the same. But, they absolutely grieve, and all of that. And, but one of the things that I love about the work that I teach is that I teach people ways to help them. There are ways that we can help ourselves when we're grieving, homeopathically with flower essences, doing some emotional clearing work. And, and our animals, they're like sponges for us. So they're not just dealing with their own emotions and thoughts and feelings. They're absorbing the emotions, thoughts, and feelings, and even illnesses sometimes from the people around them. Mm-hmm. So I always say our animal companions are like a sponge for us. Mm-hmm. So the work that I teach people is kind of like squeezing out the sponge, So you got if you're mopping up water with your sponge, you have to keep squeezing it out so you can mop up more water. Because they're so highly connected and tied into us, the more we can help them release what they're picking up and let it go, the more they can continue doing their what they consider to be their job with us without having to create, have problems within, that we're not having them manifest illnesses and disorders because of what they're doing with us.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, do we reunite with our animals when we pass on? I like to believe we do.
Yeah. You know, I think of it slightly different than that, but yes, when our animals cross over, when we learn to connect with them, it's not like we can reunite then, but they're not in the physical, we're not in the same planes. When they cross into spirit, they can absolutely be around us. They can give us, you know, comfort, et cetera. That we can talk to them. We can receive, you know, the feeling of peace, et cetera. But yes, it's like when our souls come together, we come together by a soul agreement and we traverse, you know, time and dimension with them. And absolutely, many of them will be with us for more than one lifetime of ours or theirs or a combination thereof and, you know, and in the afterlife.
Yeah, because you do refer in the book, which I thought was really cool, about some of the animals you have certain connections with are soulmate animals, and then some of them become our guardian angels after they pass, which I thought was interesting because I had never heard about some of our, you know, that before, and one of our animals could become our guardian angels. I thought that was really beautiful.
Yeah, they're really with us in a much deeper way than we know, even once they have crossed over. And, you know, I really want to bring more awareness just to humanity in general about all of this. I want to help the animals, but I also want to help the humans, you know, through learning and knowing this stuff about the animals and experiencing it. Because, you know, if you were a skeptic and you read this book and you knew that, you know, and you believed that the stories are true, which they are. You couldn't help but go, how did that happen? You know, because it's like one after the other, after the other, after the other. And they're all very different, you know. You know, I broke it into how animals are partners, teachers, healers, you know, guides, catalysts and bridges in our lives. And I broke the stories down into those. But there's even more roles they play. But that was what I chose for this book. But, you know... Some of the stories in here were proven by science. You know, a dog told me something, and it was proven that was going on with her, and it was proven by an endoscopy. So, it's like you have to understand. There's a lot more than meets the eye on the surface.
I agree. Okay, this is a perfect place to take our second break. So you guys stay tuned, and I have much more with Lynn. So stay with us.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
Coping-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back. So Lynn, you know, I was thinking during the break about your book, and I noticed that I thought was really interesting, and I don't think this was purposeful, but it came through for me anyway, that many of the stories, people in their life were kind of feeling, you know, disenchanted, they were going through something, they weren't following their dreams, and when they started to communicate with their animals kind of guided them in the direction of, like, a completely different direction of their life. Like, it was, like, really kind of interesting, and that was in a few stories. That was the theme.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I'm glad you picked up on that, because I didn't even think to mention this earlier, but I am a complete believer that animals are the keepers of our soul's divine mission blueprint. So they're the keepers of the blueprint for who we are at the highest version of ourselves, the highest expression of our soul in this lifetime. So, and you know, it's kind of like it's kind of like they have access to our Akashic records, if you will. And and this is a whole deeper, different topic,
sure.
But it is very much something that, you know, the animals have taught me over the decades. You know, probably about quite a number of years in, I started having deeper communication with Lucero. He's an Andalusian stallion guide I have that's on the other side. I call him an ascended master of the equine realm, and his story's in the book. But you know, it was through him that I realized that we have this deeper connection. We have the animals bring this. They have this access to this. So even when we don't know what's right for us, you know, on some level, our animals do. They know. You know, sometimes where we need to live, what we need to do for a living, what next steps we need to make, what relationships we should be in or not be in, or whatever it may be about us. Like, you know, they have access to that information. And I believe it's one of the biggest reasons why they are, you know, here with us, is to help us work through that. You know, and so that's why, even though these stories, that was a really good catch on your part, you really paid attention. These stories are so vast and varied. I mean, there's stories from a rabbit, you know, encouraging her person
I love
to
it.
Leave
it's a great
her career.
Story. It's such a cute story. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
In that particular story, the details were changed, but it is a true story. It's just that the location, et cetera, and the names were changed. Something from that up to somebody, you know, learning how to be completely different when riding their horse, or learning from their donkeys, or, you know, experiencing things through their cats, changing their lives to cats. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, one is a cat that saved someone from suicide, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know,
you know, and I don't want to make light of that topic. I mean, if someone's undergoing suicidal thoughts, absolutely get help. Don't just consult your cat. But
of course,
the cat was very, I mean, she told, that's a true story, and she told me the story just like it was. She was pulled back from the brink, and her life was horrible at the time, and it's magical now.
I know. There's a lot that's a theme in a lot of the stories, which really are the ones that made me cry the most, truthfully.
Yeah.
You know?
I
love them, though. I love stories like that. Those are the kind of stories that touch my heart. And I was thinking, when I knew I was going to interview you today, many of us, I mean, I've had so many animals through my life, and I know this has happened to other people. Many of us have had our animals killed tragically, right? Accidents, car accidents, attacked by other animals. What is that about? Like, why does that happen to us? I mean, I've had 1, 2, 3 animals all die tragically, and it's terrible. It's terribly painful.
Yeah, it's really hard. You know, animals are really a representation of human life, mm-hmm. but in a quicker form. You know, so they're one of their big things they're here to teach us about is the circle of life, death, and rebirth. That's one of their mm-hmm. biggest teachings for us. And it's one of the hardest things for us as humans. I mean, losing an animal is hard enough in old age when we've had them for, and they've had a great life and everything's worked out well, and then it's their time to go, and it's still mm-hmm. heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching, painful. You know, I remember when my golden retriever Jigs died, and I have a chapter about him in the mm-hmm. book, and my heart physically hurt. I had never experienced, I was lucky enough mm-hmm. to have never experienced like a massive loss like that until right. that age, and that was, you know, lots of people experienced lots of them well before that. But I could feel physical pain in my heart the next day, like that day yeah. and the next day for a couple of days, like physical pain. Like if you know, I didn't know that it could actually physically hurt my heart, never mind the emotional pain yeah. in my heart. But, you know, the thing is, they are here to teach us a lot about the cycle of life and death and rebirth. Mm. And, you know, to them, some animals mm-hmm. actually describe leaving the physical plane and going to the, you know, the spirit realm as like changing clothes. Like it's mm-hmm. to them, it's not as big a thing because they're still with us. So many mm-hmm. people say, does my dog miss me? Because I miss her so much. And I'm like, your dog doesn't miss you because she's still with you. Like she's around you. And mm-hmm. once you learn to experience that and understand that on that deeper level, there will be healing for you. It doesn't mean that it takes away all the pain for sure. I mean, I still had pain mm-hmm. when Jake's, my golden retriever passed, but I will say that it was at such a different level than it normally would be if I had known nothing. The pain would have been so much greater and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So, you know, they want to teach us how to connect with them on the other side and how to understand reincarnation and understand them coming back to us, etc. So I believe, you know, most animals, unless you have a parrot or a tortoise, you know, you're probably going to outlive your animals, you know, and in some cases, and when it's a tragic ending, it can be at a very young age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have noticed that some people have had more of that than others. Mm, like I had a friend and she must have had three tragic endings of her dogs in a row. And it was just like mm-hmm. these things that were just not even, you couldn't even comprehend them. Just fluky, bizarre, like one after the other things, you know?
Yeah, yeah, we've had that too. We've had some strange things, yeah.
So. Yeah, yeah, and I had a client, actually, I have a client that I wrote about in this book. It was about the dog Sammy, who was mm-hmm. chasing a red-tailed hawk, actually, and ended up crossing over. And, you know, who would have ever thought that could happen in their own backyard? You know,
I know.
But the strange thing about that, and I'm sort of paraphrasing here, but I think he was about, I want to say 9 to 13 months old. He was young. Mm-hmm. And what's bizarre about that is they had got him to replace one of their other labs. They have usually about got five or so Labradors. Mm-hmm. And they had gotten him to replace one of their other Labradors who had gotten this strange form of cancer. I think it was either in his kidney or his bladder. I think it was in his kidney. And who died at such a young age. When the vets found it, they said, you know, it's pretty advanced and there's not really anything we can do, kind of thing. And they thought he was going to have a few months or something, and he had like a week or something, you know, and he died so prematurely of this really bizarre invasive cancer. And then they got this other dog sooner than she might have liked to get, that her husband really wanted to get another one because, you know, he missed the other dog so much.
Sure.
And then they got Sammy, and this happened to Sammy at the same age.
I know.
Whatever age it was the same age, you know. And
those stories it's hard. It's very, very hard when they die tragically because, you know, you don't want to be that to be your focus. You want to think about all the time you had with your animal, not the way that they died, which is tragic, you know.
I have one thing to say about that if we have time. I don't know if we do. One of the things is, you know, souls do come to us based on soul agreement for, mm-hmm. you know, a season, a reason, or a lifetime, you know, ours or theirs, you know,
sure.
just like humans do. And so one of the things about it is, you know, sometimes that soul is really like coming to Earth to connect with you, to rekindle your relationship, because maybe they've been in spirit for a long time, or maybe they're a new spirit coming to you. And sometimes it's just to rekindle that and then to allow you to develop it on a spirit level again. So they're, like I said, they're always with you. And some of them do that, and they may come back a couple of times, and it's like check in and leave again kind of thing. And
yeah, maybe,
They don't think about it quite the same way as we do, because they still feel like they're with us, you know, when they're crossed. The other thing I want to say about, one other little thing I want to share is, you know, I've communicated with a cat that was killed by the coyotes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what the cat had to say was very wise and very spiritual, and treated it almost like a kind of like a ritual. And it was kind of like she did. I mean, it's not anything like I would have imagined. She didn't think, her focus was not on any pain. It was almost like she kind of showed me that she, you know, it's almost like on impact with the coyote, on contact, I should say. Mm-hmm. It's like her soul left the body. And the rest of it was like it was almost like a revered thing in a way. It was really not anything you would believe or think about.
That's interesting that you said that, because one of my cats, Zoe, she was killed by two dogs in the neighborhood that came in our backyard. So I was supposed to hear that. So that helps. Thank you. This was years ago, but she was a special cat. But I did want to ask you, just so people can kind of have an idea, maybe about one of our animals, our animals now, who came to us during COVID. She's a cat. Her name is Willow. And she came to us at about 3 weeks. She was found on the property in the middle of the night by one of our other dogs and my brother-in-law. He works at night, and he's outside and works on the properties at night. And she was about 3 weeks. And we know she came from around the corner, but it's far around the corner, because from the feral, there's a feral cat community around the corner. But there's no way she could have walked. She was too weak, and she was almost dead. And it was June of last year. And if the one more day in the sun, she would have been gone. And there's just something special about her. And I don't know what it is. This Willow, our little Willow, she's little. She's just the sweetest thing. So I don't know. Maybe, like, I'm so curious how she showed up on our lawn one night.
You know what? I have goosebumps running up and down my body as soon as you started talking about Willow. And what coloring is she?
She's a calico.
Calico, because she's got a bit of orange on her.
Yes. Yeah. Orange, browns, whites. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's sweet.
Yeah, she showed me her like tangerine kind of color, a little bit of that. She is, you know, I feel like she is one of your souls in spirit that is coming back to you. I really do. And I feel like they were instrumental in helping to get her there. I was on a show recently, and I was saying to someone, I remembered this out of the blue from years and years ago. I had a client, and she was home alone, and she lived out in the country in the middle of a blizzard. And for some reason, something made her decide to open her sliding doors on where her deck was, for some bizarre reason. And there was a cat there, similar to Willow. There wasn't even footprints. And the cat was so young. It was way too young to be away from its family. Mm-hmm. She looked everywhere for a family of cats so she could save them all, and nothing. And it's like the cat dropped from the sky. Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel like happened. I feel like she was picked up by a hawk or an owl, and somehow they dropped her. That's what I feel like.
Yeah. And I feel like however she got there, it was divine intervention from one of your animals in spirit.
Aww,
do you have an animal in spirit? It could just be how it's being represented to me, but I see a white. It could be that's how they're showing me themselves in spirit, but or like a little angel. But did you have an animal that was white or had a lot of white on it that is now crossed over?
We had a dog, Max. He died tragically. He was one of the dogs, and he was young, and he was mostly white. He was a bulldog, but he was mostly white. All the rest of our animals, I had a husky. She was black and white, and Zoe was tortoiseshell, and then Murphy was a black cat. So
I feel like Max really had a hand in it.
Max was a wonderful dog. We were devastated by Max's death. It was devastating because he was young. He was a wonderful dog. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really feel like Max has brought Willow to you, and aww. You know, you may see some similarities. You may see Max, you know, enter Willow for a little bit and kibitz with you or something
cool.
like that. But I really do feel that it was like that's your little angel. This Willow is
thank
like
you know
heaven sent, basically.
Well, thank you so much. I so appreciate that. And I feel kind of the same. We only have like 30 seconds, Lynn. Is there anything you want to share with us that we need to know before we say goodbye?
I just want people to know that when you awaken to the wisdom of animals, you open to a whole new life of magic. And it makes your own life so wonderful when you learn how to listen to them and awaken to all the wisdom that they have for you. That's my main point.
It's perfect. Well, I so enjoyed having you on today. Thank you, Lynn, for being here with me. And please check out Lynn and her book, Bark, Neigh, Meow, Awaken to the Transformative Wisdom of Your Companion Animal to Activate Your Soul's Highest Calling. And she offers so much on her website, lynnmckenzie.com. So go and check her out. Thank you for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave, and wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love, peace.